times have you seen two people put in the same coffin? How many times? If you've seen one before, let me know. How many times? Huh? Once in your lifetime. Somebody say once. Other person says odd. Daniel, was it you talking? Oh, okay. I say, how many times have, if you've been a witness, seen two people being put in the coffin? Somebody say once. Oh, okay, you didn't hear me. So you only heard how many times? And he said once. Okay. What I want you to understand is that the exit strategy for us on this earth is very individualistic. Because you are my friend, if I am dying, you will not follow me to die. You won't say, oh, I love you. let me accompany you on this journey of death because I love you. Like we do in life, you know, when you visit a friend and they follow you back, okay, to go and see you off. We don't do that with death. But it is at the appointment of death that there is judgment. Are you listening? What the emphasis I want you to listen here is that don't let anybody play with your salvation, no matter who the person is, because nobody would go with you, accompany you on the journey of death when it happens. We all do it individually. Now, it's not something you will see that when a person is going to die, he would tell his friends, I'm going to die, so I'll see you guys later. We appear in this world without announcement, and we leave this world too without announcement. The journey is done in such a way that God makes sure that you are accountable for your life. Now, many people have died not becoming familiar with the mysteries of life, and so they couldn't take certain dominion in life. But when you are exposed to truth, it helps you take dominion in life. Now, what happens is that many people that have had encounters with so-called mysteries, secrets of life, have applied it in such a way that it's become an occultic way. Meanwhile, believers are not necessarily, when I say believers, I'm talking about those that are in Christ, are not necessarily exposed to some of these truths. And I don't blame followers necessarily. I blame what I would call fathers. And fathers, blaming what I would call fathers is not necessarily your spiritual father. I'm not calling that. According to the Bible, Jesus said that the key of knowledge is given to the fathers. Now, the key of knowledge allows them to enter into the kingdom of God. He said that they have the key of knowledge, but they are not entering. Neither are they permitting others to enter into the kingdom of God. The key of knowledge is with the fathers. What I want you to understand is that there are certain things that at a certain age, you were supposed to be taught by a father in the Lord to do with the mysteries and the things of God. In fact, we wouldn't necessarily even say of God, because they are natural truth that everybody should have known. When Nicodemus went to Jesus Christ, Jesus was baffled. He said that, hey, you are a teacher in Israel and you don't know about the principle and the concept of rebirth, in the sense that you don't have to go back into your mother's womb. He says that what is born of flesh is born of flesh, and what is born of spirit is born of what? Spirit. So there is a spiritual birth, but it doesn't happen necessarily through sexual conception as in the physical. It happens differently. This is why in the early part of the soulish message, I was warning people to do with the act of necromancy, soul travel, and entering into other world. What you don't know is that death itself is even another form of birth. Death, dying, is a form of birth. Just like the way you come into this world, death has to take place in your mother's womb. The thing that the baby lies in the womb. What is the name? The midwives. The baby, when he's in the womb, in that water, we'll normally say the woman's water has broken, but it is in the uterus, isn't it? Whatever the womb, it has to break. We will see a flow of blood, and then finally, the source of life connecting the mother and the baby will have to be cut off, because there has to be an experience of death before life is brought out. I want you to understand that the concept of death is also a form of life or a form of birth. So you need to. He was telling Nicodemus that there is a reborn of the spirit. It can happen. But what you need to learn is that God gives us the natural things for us to be able to learn of the supernatural things. Please, if you are here, listen to me. Even if you are a pastor, please kindly listen to me. Because if you have any gifting embedded in you, tonight you probably would take it further. And if you are, whether a young lady, a mother, whatever you are, a man, whatever it is that you want to do, you are doing in life, it is an opportunity for us to come to a place where we can take our life into our hands, not into our hands to steer the way we want, but align ourselves according to the call of God to our destinies. Hallelujah. Now, listen, there is a principle that governs light. Somebody say light. Yes. And because I want to say a lot of things, because I want to say a lot of the things, I have to be helped with scriptures in the background. Please listen carefully to me. If you are here, pay attention. There is a principle that governs light. And light in itself is not necessarily something that we produce, because necessarily you have energy and then you produce light, or you have heat and you produce light. In the spirit realm, light is a being. And there is only one being with a true essence of light. All other forms of light acknowledges that there is only one true light. This is why in the book of John, chapter 1, I think reading from verse 5 coming, he said that, and that is 1:9, and that is the name of this ministry. He said that he, John, when he came into this world, Jesus even said that when they went into the desert, what did they go to see? He said that you saw a light, a burning one. But when John was speaking of Christ, he said that he was not the true light. He was not the true light. When John was speaking concerning Christ, he says he was not the true light. He only came to bear witness of the true light, but he was a form of light. So John was a form of light, but he was a human being. In the realm of God, we are not seen as people with flesh and blood. In the realm of God, we are seen as light. So many people do not encounter this revelation or speak as if this is where they dwell. But we that are born of Christ, we are sons of light, and we dwell in the realm of light. Hallelujah. We dwell in the realm of light. But Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said that the sons of darkness, sons, he used the term sons, meaning that there is a birthing into that relationship or that realm. He said that the sons of darkness are wiser in their generation than the sons of what? Light. Than the sons of light. So we are sons of light. We are beings. We are not an object that you have put fire on it, and because of that it is giving light. No. By default, because of our birth, we carry light. But there is a mystery here. And this is what I want us to learn. Look, if as we have started fasting and prayer, if those of you that might have fasted or not fasted, when we raise certain topics to fast with. Some of them, you can toy with them. But there are some, believe me, don't toy with them. You can't, don't play with it. You can't, it's like going to the, let's say you go to the hospital and the doctor tells you that he has diagnosed you with a heart problem and he wants you to come and check because he's not sure. Please, don't go and sit home and eat banku with, don't go home and eat banku with palm oil and don't. Take it serious. Why? Because it's a heart issue. If you went and he said that, oh, you have a cut on your leg, please, that one you can go and sleep. This is how the issue concerning with prevailing light is. Hallelujah. This is how the issue concerning prevailing light is. It is a matter that everybody here must take it serious and run with it. Like I said, you probably might be older than all of us that are on this platform. You probably might be privy to some of the things we're going to say. But I want you to take this time as this is your first time you are encountering this truth. Hallelujah. Now, there is only one true light. And this light is a being. It's not an object. It's not a substance. So the first form and the existence of light is not because somebody lighted a candle or a matches. We only use those terms so that you can understand that there is the need for light because its essence is similar to what the being that has that is light does spiritually as well. But here, there is a need for us to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and look at things from the beginning of creation and begin to understand certain things. I might not be able to exhaust the truth in some of the things that I want to say. So I would end somewhere and then I would want us to pray. But listen to me. You see that all those that call on demonic spirits, fallen demons and angels, when they do, do you realize one thing that is common with them doing? They get candles. And when they get candles, they don't light the candles. Let me tell you one truth here. And I'm not teaching you to do something silly. I'm teaching you so that you would understand certain things in the realm of the spirit. When they get these candles, they tell them, normally the number is 7. Get 7 candles. When they get 7 candles, they are speaking of perfection. Now, they say light it. And then they'll begin to invoke a name. Listen carefully. They don't get the candles because of the spirit they are calling. There is a mystery in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 verse 3. What does it say? When they get the candles and they light it and they begin to chant and invoke, the deception most of you do not know is that they are invoking the light within themselves to rise and become an attraction in the dark world to any spirit that they are calling its name. So they begin to represent themselves by the candles. If you read the book of Revelation, our God is light, but the Bible says that the 7 candles that are there are the 7 spirits of God. And he says that this is Christ, the one that holds the 7 spirits of God. The 7 spirit, the candles are representation of a being and a personality. They encompass and they embodies the perfection of God as being God himself. So whenever they tell them to light these 7 candles, it is not in their way. It's most people that do that out of deception. They think that the 7 candles is for the spirit. No, it is not. It is for that very powerful, most valuable part of you that Satan cannot touch, cannot destroy, cannot create, the soul. You begin to cause the soul to light up like an edifice in the realm of the spirit. And what happens is that because you are doing this in the place of darkness, you begin to attract nations. You begin to attract spirits that are of nations, spirit that rules domains. When you're doing this, you don't understand. But look, when we say nations, in the book of Isaiah 63, it says that nation will come to your word, your light. It doesn't tell you which nations will come to your light, whether it is nations that are of the dark world, whether it is nations that are of the kingdom of God, whatever it is, they will come. It is like a woman that is growing beautifully. All kinds of men that have wicked intentions, men that have good intentions, the light of her beauty would attract them. Whether she likes it or not, they will come. So when these people begin to take these candles and they begin to chant, they begin to invoke, they begin to invoke a knowledge into their soul that begins to light them up. And the moment the light begins to go up and they begin to call upon that whatever name they are calling upon, there is an energy signature and there is a light signature. And trust me, demons like light as well. I repeat, demons, they like light. Look, if God anoints you, whether a man or a woman, especially men, if God anoints you, you would attract women, both that are sent from Marine Kingdom, both that are sent that they don't even know, both that are good, at, you would attract all kinds of things because of the anointing. Because your light is burning and nations must come. That is the attraction. Whatever nations that they are, he didn't tell us righteous nations will come. As long as there is brightness, nations will come and kings will come. Whether it is the king of Persia, they will come. They would want to come and see your light. And even as I'm speaking, let me tell you, some of you started shining and it attracted certain kings who didn't like the brightness of your light. And because of that, they did everything possible to put it out. The brightness of your light can be seen at a very early age without you, that time you have not even attained consciousness, but your light is seen. So these people are deceived and they teach them the practices where whatever they do, they involve the use of these candles and lights because it represents the perfection of their soul that is engaging in fallen demons. Even in the Bible says that, in the book of Proverbs, it says that the candle of the wicked, he will blot out, he will take away. Because your soul is represented as a candle, but what it means is that it is a light. But he says that the candle of the wicked, though the wicked was wicked, he still had a form of light. He said that it will be blotted out. Everyone that is listening to me here, you have a light. And if you're asking me where did you get that light from, because you were created as a light being. It was Christ himself who made you the light being, because he himself, he is light itself. He is the source of light, and the light is the life that you brought into this world. The Bible says that in him was what? Life. And the life was what? Was the light of men. So if you carry life, it translates as light in this world. But some people, their light is weak. There is nobody that can arise to fame without spiritually their light being shone or their light rising like the sun. Every man that would rise to fame, where kings will come to your light, where you'll be favored in life, where you'll be, as in, doors and opportunities would open. Let me tell you the truth. It is never done without your light being glorified or magnified. Even if it is darkness that is aiding your light to shine, your star must rise because it is a representation of your light. Everyone that is born with a light, and his light has a representation of a star that is spiritually shown in the skies. And people have children that they gave birth today, this day and age there. And we pity the generations that are ahead of us a little bit, because the way some of them have been exposed to unnecessary battle is crazy. Look, when Jesus was born, because his light was seen as a sign of the star, he was persecuted even from birth. Another way is that his birth was announced as a shining star that is coming. And when he arrived, a star didn't have a choice but was shown in the atmosphere. in the spirit world. Whether Jesus was a baby, he didn't say, God, show my star. You don't have a choice whether God chooses to show your star today or not. The thing is that it must be shown. But there is a responsibility on us concerning our star. That is what is important to me concerning your light. Mothers and fathers have responsibility concerning the light of their children. And when they have progressed on from the place of being child, and they've come to a place of adulthood and responsibility, as some of you are here, you then become also responsible for your light. So the Bible says that when Moses was born, the mother looked at Moses and saw that this one had a different light. He was different. And so she hid Moses. Light, as greater and powerful as it will be from its inception, in order to protect it, sometimes must be hidden. Some of you got exposed too early. And the enemy has set you on a path and a course where you are bombarded left, right, center. It's nothing, oh. It's because if your light has the ability, just giving the chance to hit. To hit the 90 degrees angle spiritually, it will be a breaking forth for you where no man can stop you. Jesus, when he was born, God intentionally caused a stir with his star. And when he went up into the atmospheres, still the Bible says that he was pursued. But angels gave charge to his parents. Take this child and go and hide. Go to Egypt. Hide the child. Do you know what it takes to hide the child in Egypt? I'll tell you a mystery today. Sometimes, when your star has been seen, there is the need for you to hide that star. Egypt represents the world, but not in the world as in a good form. Egypt represents the world in a different form. Hallelujah. Egypt represents the world in a dark place. A moment. Hallelujah. Egypt represents a dark place, but this is God. Madakadiata. This is the wisdom of God. I'm telling you guys that it is not all the time that your light in the beginning of its inception, you need to expose it. You don't have to do that. But listen, when the strength of your light is peaked, when it is exposed, nobody can stop you. There is the need for some of you at a point in time to hide your light in darkness. And when we say in darkness, people will think, oh, so darkness means, but no. The Bible says that he called forth light out of where? Yes. Your star or your light can be kept in darkness, in under disguise. And I will explain all these things because it is embedded in a lot of parable. Under disguise, for a moment in time, it's momentarily. But the Bible says that after a while, an angel went and said that those that are looking for the child to kill, they are dead. So take the child back to Jerusalem. Now, bring the child out of Egypt, darkness, and let his light begin to shine. When Jesus was born, he was a light. But the shining of his light was not profitable to the people when he was at a younger age, was a baby. In fact, it actually, just seeing a glimpse of his light brought pain to the people, to women, the Jewish women that were in Jerusalem. Because Herod said that, let every baby that looks under the age of 2 years be killed because of Christ Jesus. Look, maybe you are a light to your family, but if your light has not been handled well, just seeing that alone, your family can suffer because of you, your light, you, your light, just because of you. The entire family can suffer because of your light. And it's not because of ancestral curse. In fact, those that are attacking your family has nothing to do with your ancestors. But there is a great light that we have seen in the family of Wisdom Nam. There is a great light that we have seen in the family of Cafes. There is a great light that we have seen in the family of Beatrice Apia. And if we need to find every way to frustrate that destiny so that that light is not cultivated. And that it has to be blotted out. Because once you hit the 90 degrees peak, Jesus, what this is how Jesus called it. He said that I am the day star, I am the light of the day, and I cannot stumble whilst I travel by the light of the day. And he says, because of that, I am going to see Lazarus. And when he was returning, they said that they wanted to kill you. He referred to them that his light is on. His light is on. The light is on. He's the daylight, and he cannot stumble. But until your light is on, don't contend, you might stumble. Remember, it is this same Jesus in another place. The Bible says that the people sought to kill. The Bible says he passed through them and left. Your light. Let's go to the book of Genesis and let me start preaching. One of the key things a lot of people misunderstand with Genesis is that we think that the beginning of Genesis is to do with a time like denotation, as in God is saying that in the beginning, referring to time. But no, in the beginning is not a reference to time, because if God is creating, he can't have a beginning because he lives in eternity. So in the beginning is not really referring to a time factor. It's referring to the essence and the place of a being. Hallelujah. Somebody say, in the beginning. I have so many scriptures to give to buttress on this, but because of time. But Jesus said that, I am the beginning and I am the end. When Jesus says, I am the beginning and I am the end, he's not referring to time. He is saying that he is the embodiment of everything that we see. Whether space, time, dimension, mass, whatever it is, he is the beginning and he is the end. In fact, in creation from the beginning, it tells us that God created. But when you come to read the book of Hebrews, it tells us that all things were made by Christ, because it was through him that God made all things that were what made, both in the book of John and both in the book of Hebrews. So God, literally Christ, is the creator. And in the book of First Colossians, all these things I say because of time, help me with the scriptures in the thing so that other people can follow. So when we speak of in the beginning, we are speaking of a place, a being of time in which a thing was made. Hallelujah. Jesus represent the embodiment of a place in which all things were made and formed. And in reading the book of Genesis, the reason why I'm placing emphasis on Jesus is that nothing in this world had been created without light. Hallelujah. Nothing in this world had been created without light. In Genesis chapter 1, he says, in the beginning God created, says that by forming from nothing the heavens and the earth. And you know, there is a governing law around reading. We call it the law of first mention or principle. Now here, he makes it clear that God created the heavens and the earth. We must understand that when Genesis said the heavens and the earth, it didn't mean that whilst God was there, he just, he would do something and then he would create heaven there. And then he would create, no. The expanse of time in between creating heaven and coming to create earth is vast. Let me bring your attention to something. You know, God created Adam. And then later on, after Adam had lived a while, looking at how Adam was doing his stuff, he realized that, no, Adam is lonely. So if you go and read anywhere in the Bible where it says God created Adam and Eve, it doesn't mean that once God was creating Adam, then he was doing Eve on the side as well. No, that's not what it means. Do we have an understanding? So when God, the Bible says that God created heavens and the earth, the heavens, as first order, existed before the earth in all things. In fact, in the book of Job, he says that the angels shouted for joy when God laid the foundations of the earth. So the angels had matured and have conscious of creation, everything, and they appreciated when earth was being created. But the verse 2 says something that, for the sake of what we are doing, I won't touch on. He said the earth was formless, emptiness, and then he says darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the oceans covered the unformed earth. And then he says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, in the first descriptive state, he was telling us of a state which had covered the earth, but it was not without the absence of the Spirit of God. So if you are thinking that darkness was there, but because of darkness was there, he has taken over. No, the Spirit of God was present. So darkness is not necessarily the absence of light. In fact, as we read a little bit further, you understand that darkness in itself is also another dimension and form of light. But it is a condescending form of light. I would explain. You know,
whilst light or from the sun, the way God makes it, the sun will give us light and life, the moon will give us darkness and death. Now, these two things are all a form of light. As we come down, I'll show you. So darkness is not just necessarily the absence of light. It is beyond that. Hallelujah. There are people that have a form of light, but still they sometimes partake in dark things. Hallelujah. So we are not talking about the form of light as in white light and all those kind of things. No, we are talking about the presence of a being in its rulership that was present. He says darkness was there. It embodies a kingdom, a world that was there. And we are not talking about the absence of switch on your light, your torch light, and then dark, you won't see dark again. No. When the Bible says that the next thing in the tree said, and then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he saw that the light was good. And what did he do? He separated the light from what? Darkness. He didn't tell us that because light came, darkness was not found anymore. Darkness was still present, but he separated them. Today, let your minds be transformed. You can carry light, but if you are a son of light and you are not wise in your light, darkness can deceive you in darkness. I'm telling you. And your light will not have its essence that it ought to have. So don't think that, you are born of light, so you can just walk. No. It's not like that. Don't get it twisted. He said, let there be light, and light came. But when the light came, what the light did, he did was, he separated the light from the darkness. And so we had these two present, and today I reveal the mystery to you. They were kingdoms. Because in darkness, we have a king, or we have a ruler of darkness, don't we? So it is a representation of a kingdom. And in light, we are sons of light. So we have the ruler of light as well. So, when light came, he separated it helped the earth to be able to separate light from darkness. And then he said that, listen carefully, the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was what? Morning or day. The darkness he called what? Evening or night in the Amplifier, as he says. The darkness he called night. Okay. The sun at this point in time has not been created. So, what I want you to understand here, and maybe because I want us to pray, maybe then for this first series of light, I would like to put it here. I said that darkness represents a kingdom here. So what God did was that he separated the kingdom of darkness in their influence on earth from that of light. So there is a clear distinction. These two kingdoms are on earth. And as long as man remains on this earth, it is permitted that darkness remains on earth. Darkness has been given a demarcation of rule, and darkness rule in the night. So he said that he called the darkness what? Night. So every night, night comes or represents the activities of the dark, the activities of demonic influence. So Jesus made a statement that night cometh where no man worketh. It is not just a night to say that it is dark and you can't work. No, please, that's not what he was meaning. He's talking about the influence of darkness where it will be hard to do things that are righteous. But let's stay here in Genesis chapter 1 concerning the light. A little bit for you to understand something here. We have observed day and what? Night. We have observed evening and what? Morning. Guys, stay with me here. But we haven't created any sun. Is that not strange? We have observed morning, day, night, even water, but we haven't created any physical light. This is where it gets scary. Or this is where it gets, you have the waking up call. At this dimension of creation, God was dealing with the spiritual elements behind the foundations of this earth. Before he came to create the physical light for the night and the physical light for the what? For the day. Let's read. In fact, just so we will jump a little bit. When you jump, Genesis 1:14. Then God said, let there be light bearers. Somebody say light bearers. Listen to me. I'm still in the 3, but I have to come to 14 to explain one thing to you. Let there be light bearers, sun, moon, and stars in the expanse of heaven to separate the day from the night. My question to you is this, as I like to preach with you. Did God not separate the day and the night in verse 3? Guys, I have a question for all of you. It's not only Pastor Lord that is here. Did God not separate the day from the night in verse 3? So, why is he still separating again a form of day and night after he has created another light bearers? And listen, he said that he created light bearers, the moon, the sun, and the stars. So, the moon is also a form of what? Light. And the sun is a form of light, and the stars are forms of light. So the Bible says that now he's created them. This is what we see physically. And he says that he created them also to act the same way as this light that he called, that he didn't create, or this darkness that he called, that we didn't see its source of creation. This darkness that he separated, that was there before he said, let there be light. He didn't, he threw that, he separated the day and night. And he has come back to say that now he has created for us the sun, the moon, and the stars, and they are light. They are to separate day from night, and let them be useful signs and tokens. Hallelujah. And 16 says that God, verse 16 says, God made the two great lights. The greater light, which is the sun. Somebody say the sun. To rule the day. And the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. Beloved, let me stay on these things here. If I read further, I think I might lose some of you. Listen carefully. The first separation of day and night is the spiritual day and night that is in the life of every believer. Or every man. Every man observe two dimensions of seasons in their life spiritually. You don't have winter spiritually. You don't have summer spiritually. You don't have autumn spiritually. You don't have Hamatan spiritually. All that you have in the spirit world is two seasons. You have a season of darkness and you have a season of what? Light. And the season of darkness is known as your evening or your night. And the season of light is known as your morning or your day. They correspond to the physical two dimensions of seasons we observe every single day. As long as you are in the flesh, as a man, you will perpetually experience this dimension of season. And they are all governed, they are all government or substances or entities or beings in a form of light. Because a lot of people think that darkness is not light. No, it is light. So you see that, just to give you understanding here, in the verse 16, the greater light rules the what? Exactly. Or the greater light rules the day and the lesser light rules the night. So in the night time where it is darkness, it is light that rules the darkness. And this light that we are talking about, it is not the light which is the greater light called the sun. No. It is also a form of light called darkness. So Satan, who is the ruler, or Lucifer, who is the ruler of this kingdom, is actually a being born of light. He's called Lucifer, Luciferus One, the light bearer. The Bible declares him that he's able to come as an angel of light. So Satan does not operate from what you might think, darkness as in adituntum. He operates with dark things. No, Satan does not operate with dark things. Satan operates more in light. It's also a form of light that many of us do not know. But that is how Satan operates. Hallelujah. So if you are thinking, if you are there thinking that maybe the operation of Satan with light, that's the key word we are all mentioning here, is that we are all mentioning light. Both the darkness and both the light need light to rule. The darkness is not ruled by necessarily something that looks dark. The darkness is ruled by a condescending form of light called the moon, if you want to put it that way. But it is a form of light. And the day is ruled by a greater or a higher dimension of light that is called the sun. But it is greater and more powerful. So listen to me. Everybody that is here, that is listening to me, observe these two great seasons in their life perpetually, whether you like it or not. Now, the reason is that God has given you a light that came from Christ, that you would perpetually walk with this light, whether day or night. But there are people that in their time of night, they don't have their day star. If you jump to the book of Revelations, the Bible says that at the end of days, the ordinances that God has put in place is that we would have only one light. We will not have moon anymore. We will have only one light. And this light will not be the sun. This light will be the being who is the true light that will give us light perpetually. There will not be any form of light. There will not be any form of what? Night. And let me tell you, some people think in heaven we will sleep. No, we won't sleep. Now, let me show you a phenomenon here. You know that when it is day, we are all awake. And when it is night, we all sleep. Night represents a form of death. That is why we sleep. In fact, it is because of a fall and a weakness in us that causes us to sleep. It is a form of death. We all sleep at night because it is night, and it represents a form of what? Death. Hallelujah. So everybody here, when you are facing the seasons of your night, it is death that is trying to attack your season. But what God has done is that He has lighted you enough to be able to carry your light in your dark days, so that you will keep your light alive for through your dark days. Whether you like it or not, there is a night, a spiritual night in your season of life that would attack you. You know, you've heard of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 what? Wise. The concept there is to do with light. And the other day I was explaining that, why is it that when the virgins saw that the man had come, they didn't actually still go, and when they went and they were knocking at the door, they were not open at the door. Why were they not open? Because they came through to the door through darkness without light. And anybody that walks in darkness without light stumbles. That person is false. That person does not have guidance. So we can't open the door for you to be part of light. Are you listening? So don't put out your light. Don't put out your light in the day of darkness. You will stumble. You need to perpetually carry your light. And the truth be told is that there are entities, there are beings that seeks that they will cause you to do things that will cause you to blot out your light in the form of candle. So Jesus, the Bible says it. He says that, look, remember how you have fallen and repent. If not, I will come and I will take away your candle. All that he's trying to say is that it's figurative, because John on the island of Patmos, the best way he can explain your light to you in their term is to use candle. If he was born in our age, he would tell you, come and take your light off, your bulb. You carry a light. This is the first dimension of light I want you to understand. We have two dimensions in the spiritual world, evening and day. This observance, as long as every man is in the flesh, he will observe it. But the upper hand God has given you, that he calls you the light of this world. In fact, Jesus said that, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. Do you hear that statement? He says, as long as he is in this world, he is the light of the world. Yeah, Pastor Lord has put that scripture there. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. You shouldn't walk in darkness. Night will come, just as we live on this earth, whether we like it or not. I mean, where I am now, it is dark. But I'm able to operate or see things because I have light. Darkness will come in everybody's life, but you've got to keep your light on. Don't be like the foolish virgins. And don't let anybody take away your lamp. Don't live a life that takes away your lamp. Because at the time that darkness comes, if you want to light or put on your light, it's impossible. Why? You won't find that, dear, when it is darkness, those of you who have lived in those days that we used to sell kerosene, when the light goes out, we'll be going to look for kerosene. And we'll be looking for what to use. I used to do bobo and sell. my brother Alex is here. I used to do those kind of things. I've sold kerosene before. Yeah, I'll go and buy kerosene, do bobo, and go and sell the bobo and the kerosene to people. Yeah, because darkness has come. They don't have light. If nothing leaves you tonight, I'm telling you, you have two seasons in your life. It is not you waking up in the morning and seeing the sun and sleeping and seeing the night. No. You have two seasons in your life where there are two great rulers at work. The ruler of the night and the ruler of the day. By privilege of inheritance and sonship, you are given access to perpetual light. Spiritually, in the night, your light does not go off. You have a lamp that literally guides you. Look, if you guys have had an encounter with the light that I saw, I'm telling you, you can't observe darkness. It is impossible if that light that I encounter is what leads you in the night of your life spiritually. It's impossible for any darkness to overshadow that. It's absolutely impossible. But you would have to carry that light perpetually. Because spiritually, you don't have to sleep. There is no spiritual slumber. If anybody that sleeps spiritually, they are in darkness. There is no room for spiritual sleep. And listen, before man was given dominion on this earth, light, whether darkness or light in the form of day, they were the first beings that in this world that we live in, they were given dominance of rulership. Before man assumed his rule, it was light, whether in the form of darkness or in the form of light, that was given dominion. So anybody that truly wants to rise above the rulership of the fallen man must enter into one of these realms, whether they are in the realm of the light of the sun or they are in the realm of the light of darkness. This is why Satan, through this rulership, is empowering people in darkness to do well as if that they are doing what is right, but it is false light. And God wants the sons of light to also rise in their light so that we will see God. I repeat, the first form of dominion that was given to any being, entity on this earth was not man. Hello? I said, I repeat, the first form of dominion, rulership, ordinances that was given to any entity, being, whether whatever it is on this earth, was not man. It is named there. The light, the sun to rule the what? The day. And the moon to rule the what? The night. And we know what they represent. What their representation means. As long as man is on this earth, it was before that the dominion mandate was given to man. So any man that truly wants to have dominion beyond the rulership of the sun and the moon must be a product of the greater light. This is why when Joshua was praying and he said that let the sun stand still and let the moon. This is why when he commanded that and it happened. If you read the rendering of the Bible, he says that it is like never in the days of men has a man been heard by God like that before. Because Joshua was entering into certain dimensions of authority that is for the aeons to come. Yet still Christ had not even died. But the man was... How did he even know that he has the power to speak that let the light stay there? Let the sun stay. He didn't... When astrologically, he didn't even know what he was doing. He was basically ordering the function of how the earth rotates and does everything. When we pray because we have light. When we stay in prayer, we pray because we want to maintain the dominance over darkness. He said that while men slept, somebody came and saw. When you went to church, your pastor told you that the witches has come to sow when you slept. Why did you even sleep in the first place? And so let's lift up prayer and pray against the witches. Look, Oso Wukania Esum Enyaosu to me. When you put on your light, darkness will not have a place. But don't stay in darkness and chase after witches. Don't stay in darkness and chase after witches. What you should be concerned about is that if your light has been put out, be concerned about how you would maintain the fervency to maintain that light the day starlight. And funny enough, Jesus said something to us which really put a burden on us. He said that, he didn't say that I would make you the light of the world. He said that you are the light of the world. Because as long as we are in the flesh, as beings that have heavenly, they say that we have treasures in earthen vessels, that have treasures from above on in us, we would have to make sure that we keep the light in this world burning in every dimension. Not the light to buy a car, the light to buy this, the light to... There are people here, if their son in the realm of the spirit should hit the 90 degrees angle, they can give this church £1 million on this platform. Nations will come to the rising. Nations. Men will come and kneel before you. There are people here, if their son should rise up. But no, nobody told you to know how to encounter the light. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. I want to leave it there. We still have a lot to exhaust in Genesis chapter 1. I want us to pray. I want us to pray. There are a lot of believers, they gather to pray, but their light, their candle is weak. Their candle is weak because the residue of their oil that is producing the light is filthy. So David was asked for a fresh oil upon his head. Anoint my head with fresh oil. It is not about the oil. It is about the light that the oil is able to produce. Anoint my head with fresh oil. Because the light must shine. If your light is off, if you go to people, you want to ask people. But if your light is on, no matter where you are, people will be looking for you. Because you become a life giver. The sun, it doesn't only bring brightness. Oh, have you heard of photosynthesis? Every fruit tree, whatever you eat on this earth, gives you their produce because of the sun. And we this earth want to experience heavenly produce, but the light givers of this earth, that are light bearers of heavenly light, they are gone. They are shut. They can't give their light. How would this world produce its heavenly fruit? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is a light reflection. It is a light reflection. It is a light reflection. We are going to pray. We are going to pray. I'm concerned about those that are in darkness. Or, and this darkness I'm talking about, please listen, I've explained to you. God has not taken the rulership of the darkness away yet. It is not time. It is still there. But it doesn't have dominion when you have your daylight. And there are some of you here, your son, your daughter, he can't pray the way you understand and can pray. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. We are going to pray. Obi wo hana esume druno edeyare eba. You need the light of healing. Somebody might be here. Your evening spiritually is approaching. It is coming with sickness. Because Satan doesn't bring his rulership of the night for anything good, though, when you don't have your light. He doesn't. But in his light, we shall see.